Welcome to the Last Sunday Podcast, where we discuss last Sunday's sermon at Majestic View Church in beautiful Kiowa, Colorado. Senior Pastor John Smith talks with Kyle Peters to answer questions, provide clarity, and take a deeper dive on some points from the sermon. This is your chance to be a fly on the wall for personal discipleship.
Hi, Kyle.
Hello there.
How are you today?
Fantastic.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to be back and to discuss what happened last Sunday. And I'm excited about this message. The Lord really gave us something special in our service yesterday. And we saw some really neat things happen as people were really touched by God. So it was really fun. And really, really encouraging for me personally.
Good.
Yes. Good. Well, let's pray.
Absolutely.
Father, I am so thankful for your goodness. And as we used the title yesterday, Grace for the Broken, in some way, all of us are broken, Lord. We may not know it, but all of us are broken. And only you and your touch can fix that. So we thank you for your grace that helps us to heal and helps us to find real answers. And I pray now that you would open our hearts to the truth and give somebody what they need in order to find the real healing of their heart and their lives. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right.
Well, so, I mentioned in my prayer that people might find real healing in their heart. And buried in the midst of these stories that we find from Jesus, we find the real, one of the major keys that most people miss when they really are trying to find healing. And not just, I'm not talking about necessarily just physical healing. I'm talking about the healing of the heart, the healing of the emotions. And so we'll get to that before we're done today.
All right. So as we discuss this, I think folks who were here on Sunday or maybe watched it on the live stream, which we had several watching on the live stream during the sermon, or go back and watch it. I think grace, just the word grace, was probably the most prevalent thing that was picked up through that. And maybe the thought would be, we're going to talk a lot about grace, and we are. But I agree with you. I think that underlying healing aspect, and I agree. I think physical ailments, as much focus as there is on that anyway, on a normal day-to-day basis, and in the news and politics and whatnot these days, physical ailments are an issue, but spiritual ailments are probably the bigger concern, and those can't be addressed by legislation.
No.
And they can't, and it's, I'm not even sure that they can be addressed by a physician, rightfully.
Well, I once heard a medical doctor, very well known, very respected, make the statement to a bunch of pastors. He said, if we could help people deal with their depression and their worry and their fear, we would empty the hospitals.
Hmm.
So, yes, the need for spiritual and emotional healing is absolutely a key to physical healing. Now, we're talking about Jesus did some supernatural on-the-spot healing with some of these people, but we're talking about that the real need, the eternal need, and even the worldly need that we have is much deeper than just a physical ailment.
Yeah, obviously there's going to be some things that are physical ailments. You know, you get in a car wreck and break a leg or something, you fall down, break a leg, you broke a leg.
Right.
that wasn't caused by, most likely, I guess I should say, a spiritual issue within you. But maybe the day-to-day, maybe the day-to-day issues are exacerbated. Our immune system is affected.
Oh, absolutely.
By
there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, by our spiritual issues that we carry with us.
You show me somebody that worries all the time, and I'll show you somebody that's sick all the time.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely. So, as I said, grace was definitely a thing. What can you give a good example or a good definition of what grace is?
Well, there's a lot of places you can find definitions for grace. Mm-hmm. But the essence of grace is this. It is us receiving something we do not deserve. And it's not just mercy. It is more than that, even though it's first cousin to mercy. Grace is also God giving us what we lack. It's not just what we don't deserve, it's what we lack. And an example of that, I think one of the greatest definitions in the Bible of grace, if you just were to take a verse of Scripture, it says, "For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So that means that verse is saying that God is doing a work in me, God is doing a work in you, and giving you the ability to even have the want to.
Okay.
To do what is God's purpose for your life, what's God's plan for your life. And listen, we're not going to make any bones about it. People may not agree with this, but the Bible teaches that the best way to find real joy in this life and real meaning in your life is to find God's purpose for your life, because he's the one that made you. He made you unique for very special purposes. And so when you discover that, you go from living a negative, fighting life to something that is focused on eternal, and it gives you real purpose. And grace is God giving you the ability to do that. He didn't just give you the gifts. He gives you the desire and the want to. And so God working in my life is an act of grace.
So I think I have largely thought of grace as being more on the forgiveness side.
Well, it's involved in forgiveness, that's
right.
For sure.
I guess I just thought of that as being like the primary thing, but I can see where it's more proactive, perhaps.
It's God's involvement in our lives.
Okay.
It's God being interested in us and then giving us the ability to do what we can't do. And certainly we can't forgive ourselves. We can't overcome our own sin. We can't be good enough to get
right.
to heaven.
Right.
So all of that involves God's grace. But you know what? Me having the ability to love you when you're ornery takes grace.
Mm-hmm.
I might do pretty good at it, but if you give me a steady diet of it, then it's going to run short, and I'm not going to have what I really need within John Smith to care about another human being that is hard to love. And all human beings can be hard to love at some point.
Yes, yes, we can. I may be guilty of that once in a while.
We all are.
So you said God gives us the grace to deal with our issues and in the sermon. And I find that, I kind of left yesterday feeling like I didn't fully grasp what was being said, the whole message, to be quite frank.
Okay.
And the explanation you just gave helped. And so if it's that involvement of being in my life to lead me in that right direction, that's grace, then that gives me the grace to deal with my own issues. Is that part of that path, is just finding my own way out of my own problems? Or
That's what we try to do, and that's why we need grace, because we'll never do it. We'll never overcome our problems, our eternal problems of sin, without the grace of God. And there's just so many ways that I need God's grace. Now, let me give you this example. The verse of Scripture that I started out with came from the book of John, a totally different passage, And it says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Okay, the Bible teaches us, Kyle, that you and I are sinners that are dead in our trespasses and in sin. Mm-hmm. Now, it uses that word dead, and that word dead means dead. It means without life. And so I don't have spiritual life, and that is really hard for us to wrap our heads around, mm-hmm. because I'm living and breathing, you know. But when it says that we've received his fullness and he has given us grace for grace, guess what? I didn't even want his grace. He had to give me grace so that I would want his grace. Because I was a dead man.
Okay.
And here's an example. I'm a little boy. I'm not a horrible, wicked sinner as the world sees it, but I'm a sinner in my heart, and I'm really selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to prove to the world I'm a good boy. I'm describing myself. That's the way I looked at life, because I was taught to be good and to do good. And so mm-hmm. I want to be good. And then comes along, I couldn't figure it out, because I knew that I was trying to live a good life. I knew that I wanted to be good. I was trying to do the right things. I wanted to please my mom. I wanted to please my dad. I wanted to please my teachers. I guess they call me a pleaser, okay? But I did that because I wanted to be right. And then the day came that I realized that I couldn't do that. And I desperately had to have God's grace in order to be the person that I wanted to be, that was in my heart to be. And so God's grace came along and gave me grace to receive his grace, to humble myself and to realize I can't make it without him.
So in that word picture there, the want to please other people, it's incomplete.
Oh, very much so.
And so as you were saying that, I was thinking of Ayn Rand's Virtue of Selfishness, which kind of says that, like, there's virtue to being selfish, because you do the things that make you happy, and that, you know, helping other people and seeing joy in other people makes you happy. And that, so helping other people is in and of itself kind of a selfish act.
Yes, it can be.
It can be.
What is your motivation?
Yeah.
And I give
my children presents at their birthday because they enjoy it, and I enjoy seeing them enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't enjoy giving them the thing, you know, so I wouldn't do it. And so there's a virtue to selfishness in this, in what she wrote. And but I always felt that statement and that philosophy was incomplete. And I can see where it only gets you so far.
Yeah. Well, you know, who gets the glory if I get the credit for what I did? I do.
Then yeah, at best you do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when people give you glory, when they are all the time pumping you up, what does that do to a person?
It inflates their ego, makes them feel more important than they possibly are.
Filled with pride.
Mm-hmm.
And pride will destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do the very same actions, and I always try to give glory to God because I know that it's his grace that gave me the ability to do what I'm doing, and I sincerely and in a focused way say, no, this is all about Jesus. This is about God changing my heart and me trying to receive what he's got for me and do this for his glory, for his purposes. Now, all of a sudden, there's no room for that pride because I know the source of my strength, and it's not me.
It makes me think of the, I'll make up a term, I guess, the influencer generation, where somebody gets on the internet and 5 million people say, wow, you're the most amazing thing ever. Then it's all about them. It overinflates their ego and their self-worth, and it becomes all about them and becomes a matter of pride. Mm-hmm. And it's a rare one of those individuals who say, thank you, but it's not me.
Right.
I'm just the guy. I'm just the figurehead here.
You know, and even if I don't give glory to God, there is nothing I've accomplished in this world that I can't, that I don't have people that have done things for me that helped me to do that. There are some people that think that they, you know, are an island and nobody helped me, nobody did anything for me. Well, that's not true. And you may believe that, but I challenge that. And I would even look at you and say, where did you get the breath to do what you do?
Yeah.
You know, where did you get the intelligence? I'm not talking about the knowledge you've gained. I'm talking about where did you get the intelligence to gain that knowledge? So,
somebody planted that acorn somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so the gifts that God gives us, it's about His grace. Because we don't deserve it. Because in the end, or in the beginning, all through our lives, we are sinners that are rebellious toward God. Everybody struggles with that.
Mm-hmm.
At some level, some worse than others.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's an important thing too. Is even the most openly pious folks, religious folks, whatever, however we want to say it, those people struggle too. We all do once in a while. I mean, you've told the story of when your son was sick and the struggles that went with that. And I mean, that's a big moment. Mm-hmm. There that is easy to be obvious about, but I think probably everybody at some point in time, even just the little things through the day, we might question. Some of us more than others. I know I still question things.
Well, sure.
I question everything, really, but I always come back around to the same answer. Mm-hmm. You know, like I look at things with a skeptical eye and say, is that just physics happening there? or something of that nature.
And the other side of that, another part of that, Kyle, is like this. You know, we talked about this over the weeks. We mentioned marriage quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
What's the great killer of any marriage? Expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And expectations are that I deserve something from you.
Right.
What is that? An expectation is selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
And selfishness destroys. It'll destroy my person, me mm-hmm. as a person. It will destroy my marriage. It will destroy a business. It'll destroy a baseball team.
Yep.
It'll destroy anything it touches, because selfishness is pure poison. And selfishness is embedded in sin. Now, what does God do? God gives us the grace to see that. God gives us the grace to overcome it. God gives us the grace then to love others that are caught in it. It's amazing how important God's grace is.
All right, so let's look at that marriage expectations thing, just because most of us deal with that in one form or the other. If I unreasonably, I think unreasonable and unspoken or unnegotiated expectations are probably the worst. When I set an expectation for my wife and she doesn't even know I've done it, those are probably the worst. But when I set those expectations and that just becomes my way of thinking that she's not meeting my expectations, how do I get out of that? If I don't realize that that's a problem, that I'm doing that, you know, because
well, you need
saying I need grace, but do I just get that? Do I have to ask for that? And if I don't know that I'm a problem, if I don't think I'm a problem, why would I ask for that?
Well, and that's where counsel comes in. That's where the Word of God comes in. That's where we're challenged in our thinking. That's where, I mean, sometimes God sends a brother to me and says, John, you're proud. You see that in me? Absolutely, you did this, this, and this. Mm. And that's the way it looked to all the rest of us. Oh, my. I had a life-changing moment by a very sweet man. His name was Joe, or is Joe. And we were working together in the Northwest on the Indian Reservation and doing ministry together. He wasn't a very vocal person, but he was a great musician. And so he would take his guitar, and I would take my Bible. And we were going, and we were having success. We were working at a job corps teaching a Bible study, and several young men had come to know Christ already and our efforts there. And so we were flying pretty high. I was flying pretty high. And we were on our way one evening to the Bible study, and Joe was real quiet. Now, again, Joe was one of the most humble guys I'd ever known. There was just not a lot of selfishness in Joe, okay? And he always was the guy that would take the back seat, would serve quietly and just very sweetly. And we're driving along, and Joe wasn't talking. Mm. And I said, Joe, what's wrong? Oh, nothing. And I said, Joe, listen. I was pretty bold about everything back then. I'm not too much different now, but I said, Joe, we can't go do ministry together if there's something between us.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled over on the side of the road. And I said, what's going on? And he looked at me with a tear running down his face.
Hmm.
And he said, John, you're proud. He couldn't have slapped me or hit me with his fist and hit me any harder.
Yep.
And it wasn't like he came, you know, strutting up to me and said, John, you're proud, you're arrogant, you're a fool. No, it was something that cost him a lot to tell me that.
Yeah, it had more meaning because it was obviously painful for him to say.
He did not want to say that.
Yeah.
And it changed my life. That moment changed my life. And that was God's grace. So I've received God's grace through the Word. I've seen God's grace. I've received it through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And He's the one that uses the Word. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit is also what used Joe that day. And I could sit there. I could have argued with him. But I couldn't argue with him. Because I had been confronted with a blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have those blind spots. Well, that's grace that God put Joe in my life at that moment, at that time, was a huge, huge step. Now, I had long ways. I still got long ways to go, but I had long ways to go after that. But the fact is that was a huge building block. And I remember that moment as vividly as I do just about anything. And that happened 50 years ago.
Wow. Yeah,
that was a long time ago.
That's a powerful turning point moment.
It is
very much so. When you can remember it that clearly, and I think that kind of goes to something else that you discussed in the sermon was exposing your issues to the light.
Yeah,
and bringing there's nothing that heals us quite like getting light shined on our what we've tried to keep private, even and maybe especially if we've kept it private from ourselves.
Yeah, well, we haven't admitted it to ourselves that it's an issue, but we to have real body to that statement, you really got to go into this story. And I made the statement in the sermon that I was having this conversation with my son, who's also a pastor, about. he said, Dad, have you ever thought about what happened to the people in the Bible that Jesus healed? What was their life like after that?
Yeah.
And the Bible doesn't tell us. And so after he said that to me, I was studying for this sermon. I mean, the next day, I was studying for this sermon, and I came across this where the Bible's, in Matthew it doesn't say this, but this story about this woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment is in both Mark and Luke. And in the book of Luke, it says this, I think I have it right here. It says, now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before Jesus, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now, I believe it's in Mark that it says Jesus encouraged her to do that. Okay, and when you see that story, here's this woman. She was bankrupt financially.
Mm-hmm.
She was an outcast, isolated from people because of her issue of blood, which in the Jewish world, she was unclean. She wasn't allowed to be around people. And her life was a mess because she had a problem with bleeding. And it was a tragic deal for 12 years.
Yeah.
And she was actually breaking Levitical law to touch the hem of Jesus. Because according to that Pharisaical approach to that, touching the very hem of his garment made him as a teacher and prophet unclean. And so she took a huge risk.
Yeah.
But it was all she had left. If only I can touch the bottom of his robe as he goes by. And then when she did that, the Bible says she was healed instantly because of her faith. And Jesus said, who touched me?
Yeah. And he was in a crowd.
Yeah. Well, but what he was doing was he was calling her out. And then he asked her why. And the Bible says she told him, and all around, what had happened to her. Now, how many women want to talk about that?
Yeah, nobody.
I mean, and it's a real symbol of the deepest, darkest secrets that we have, the most intimate secrets that we have. And that's the source. That's where we hide our pain. That's where we hide our anger. That's where we hide our sin. And this woman wasn't necessarily guilty of sin is the reason she had this bleeding problem.
Right.
But when she confessed that, when she told him, I've been outcast, I couldn't go to the temple because I'm unclean, I can't get married or whatever, all these deep, dark secrets, and here's why. When she confessed them to the Lord, that's when she found not just physical healing. He'd already given her that. But then she found emotional and spiritual healing. And Kyle, that is such an important thing. I do a lot of talking with people. I don't call it counseling because I'm not certified.
Right.
But I talk with a lot of folks about issues. And I don't see people get real freedom until they get real honest. Now, I'm not telling them they need to go out on a street corner and tell everybody all their dirty laundry, but they need to tell the Lord, and they need to tell somebody else. I've seen it bring couples that weren't even hardly speaking to each other when one of the couple or both parties in the couple shared their pain and their intimacy and the things that they've been carrying since a lot of times since their childhood. When they open up and they talk about that and how it made them feel and what they experienced by that, I've seen that couple drawn together like a magnet. Because They see the transparency. They see the partner sees the vulnerability. They feel compassion, and their hearts are knit together. It's a beautiful thing.
And there's understanding. Whereas before there was an issue and they just didn't even understand what was happening.
Yeah. Or maybe they would say a word and they would get lashed out about that word. But that word was a trigger that was reminding them of something that happened, you know, when they were raped as a 13-year-old or something like that.
Right.
And so the partner doesn't understand that, but when they do, all of a sudden there's tenderness and compassion.
Well, yeah, and when you don't understand things, you tend to personalize it.
Yeah, well, personalize it. Yeah, you take it personal. That's right.
Yeah. Well, and my wife clearly doesn't love me. She wants nothing to do with me. Well, no, there's some other issue, and if we can even just bring that to light, there can be understanding and compassion there instead of uncertainty and resentment.
And now we're back to our word grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, when you listen to your wife's heart and you engage her emotions, now instead of being her judge, now instead of being her Mr. Fix-It, you are somebody that she can rely on to care about her needs. And we go all the way back to our sermon on Mother's Day.
Right.
And it's the same thing. So what you're doing when you do that is you are giving love, yes, but you're giving grace.
Well, and I think that's hard for the majority of men out there too, because we want to fix things. That is in our nature. And so if my wife tells me this is what's going on, I immediately want to say, oh, well, what you need to do is this, this, and this, and that'll fix your problem. And she may not want me to fix her problem, but she does want me to care about it.
Okay, let's give an example here. And I'm not comparing women to a horse when I do this.
Uh-oh. But where's this going?
but when you have an animal, a horse especially, that's agitated,
mm-hmm.
Do you go up there and say, stand still?
That rarely works.
It will not work.
Yeah.
You're going to make the problem worse. So what do? You stroke it.
Yep.
You're slow motion. You're showing concern and calm. And when the horse senses you're in control, mm-hmm. and you're calm, it begins to quieten them. And why do we see that we need to do that for a horse?
Right.
And not that we need to do it for other people, for our child, for our wife, for the husband, for somebody just to care.
Well, and that's a common issue. I've done a little study and work in conflict resolution and whatnot in a past life, as it were. And one of the things that seems to happen all the time in high stress, high anxiety situations that never works is walking up to somebody and saying, calm down. Whatever it is, they just were in a car crash, somebody died in front of them, whatever, and just yell at them, calm down, and see how calming of a force that is to them.
Well, and there's another angle on that, and it's the words of Jesus, a soft answer turns away wrath.
Mm.
So somebody's in an argument with you,
mm-hmm.
your spouse,
yep.
your enemy, whoever. Yep.
If you turn up the volume, you're just turning up the volume.
You're going to escalate.
Yeah, but if you turn it down.
If you can calm. And what is that? Well, that could be interpreted as a form of grace.
Hmm.
Because you are responding in a gracious manner instead of a retaliatory manner or an agitating manner. You are giving something they desperately need right then. They need somebody to help them calm down.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so many ways in this world that this thing, grace, is important.
Yeah.
And of course, Sunday, what we talked about was grace for all these broken people.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten into a lot of that yet.
But the thing that I mentioned earlier was just how sweet the service was, especially at the end, and how people responded. And Kyle, I saw things happening, and you may not have seen. Most people don't see because I'm the pastor and I'm up front.
Yeah, you're looking at everybody in the face, and I'm seeing the back of everybody's head.
Right.
Because I hide in the back with all the bad kids. And
but I saw people. I saw people weeping.
Okay.
I saw other people go to those people that were weeping, and give them a hug and pray with them and just comfort them. I saw them get up with joy in their eyes. I saw people just loving and caring for people. Why? Because the grace of God was in the room, and folks were compassionate toward one another. At the end of the service, we had a dramatic example of that. We had a young man that stood up and asked, he said, "I just can't hold this in." I mean, we dismissed.
Yeah.
He said, "I just can't hold this in." He said, "One of my very best friend's wife just died.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you to pray for him." Well, I'm sitting over there just going, wow, this is an exceptional moment. I wasn't even thinking. I was kind of checked out. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and there are 20 people that had gotten up out of their seats and came up and surrounded him and suddenly were praying for him. Spontaneously. It just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah, why not?
Because the grace of God was in the room.
Yeah, why wait?
Why wait? Right now. They went up there and they surrounded him and started praying and asking God to help him and to help his friend.
Right.
And I don't know what the result of that's going to be, but I know what the result of that moment was.
Mm.
And it was a powerful, powerful moment where everybody in that group felt community and closeness and love and like, wow, we're in this together. And it's a hard situation.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did hear him. I did hear him speak about that, and that was a tough situation to deal with on multiple levels. Where he said a gentleman lost his wife, and there's a child. I couldn't remember.
She was pregnant with a baby.
Okay.
And they have a small child.
Oh goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, she was within just a few weeks of delivery.
Oh my! I didn't know that.
So he lost his wife and his new baby.
Okay, and they had not been married for very long.
No,
and then I can just see the conversation in his head of why.
Oh, absolutely.
Why does this happen? And reportedly not a believer, and this probably doesn't. I can see where this could go either way. But probably leaning on the
angry with God and not knowing what to do with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned that earlier about what I went through when my son died.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get angry? You bet I did. Did I say, God, this isn't fair? You bet I did. And you know what? Life is tough and bad things happen. And anyway, but this young man's got to deal with that. And so, you know, I do know that God answered that prayer. I don't know how he received it, but I know that God answered that prayer and gave him grace, and will continue to give him grace as we continue, as he continues to walk, because we ask him for it, and God honors that.
So let's kind of go back a little bit, but I think it still keeps with the topic here. I'm not trying to change subjects, but the idea of giving us grace to give us grace to get grace.
Grace for grace.
Right. So how, expand on that a little bit for me so I can understand it better. And maybe in this situation, that's what's going to happen, where he gets grace, but what's the next step of grace then, if grace for grace?
Here's the truth. The Lord, well, the Bible, that same passage of Scripture says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Okay, so Jesus Christ was God's gift to mankind to show us the true nature of God. And if anybody that ever lived was a gracious person, it was Jesus Christ. You don't see Jesus ever treating anybody mean or harshly except the religious bigots, okay? He would confront them. Why? Because they were the opposite of God's grace, and they were the religious leaders of the day.
And that wasn't necessarily a personal attack.
No, he was just confronting the evil that was involved in that.
Right.
Okay. But when it came to people, when it came to meeting the stranger, when it came to encountering the leper,
mm-hmm.
all different kinds of people, Jesus always met them with grace.
Yeah, always kind, always gracious.
Now, he met them with truth, too. I mean,
right.
He met the woman that was thrown at his feet that was taken in adultery by a law. She could have been stoned for that. And he confronted the people that were hypocrites that had thrown her at his feet. And then he looked at her and he said, "Where's your accuser?" She said, "I have none." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee." That's grace. And then he said, "Go and sin no more." That's truth.
Okay.
So he gave her grace and truth. Okay. So that's why Jesus came. But you have all kinds of situations. And in fact, you've got me, John Smith, a 9-year-old boy, full of pride, having people tell me all the time, "I'm a good boy," okay? Because in their eyes, I was. I still needed grace. I needed grace for my pride. And so what did God do? Jesus came not only to, as grace and truth, but he came to give us grace that would be willing to receive grace. I wasn't looking for grace the night that Joe confronted me. I wasn't looking for grace for me. I was looking for grace for somebody else because I was going to tell them the truth. I was going to preach Jesus, man.
Right.
And John Smith, the great evangelist, was going to show up and good things were going to happen.
That's right.
Okay. That's just, yes. That makes me ill to think about. Okay. But God gave me grace that night through Joe to see that
yeah.
I had to depend on him. I told the church Sunday, Kyle, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I've been preaching now for 51 years. I know how to construct a sermon.
Right.
I know how to talk to a crowd. That is a natural, inherent thing that I know how to do. I've had a lot of practice, okay?
Right.
But I can't change a life. And I won't be effective in connecting with people outside of the grace of God, outside of his strength.
Hmm.
And the older I get and the longer I go, the more I understand that anything good that happens, and listen, my heart is that when I preach on Sunday, good things will happen. People will find forgiveness. People will be willing to forgive. People will have stronger marriages. Children will be able to understand what it means to be obedient to their parents. And you know, good things will happen. I can't do that. I'm not that persuasive. Maybe there's some people that are pretty persuasive with the way they speak. But that's not, I'm not that. But by God's grace and by God's power and the power of his Spirit, then amazing things happen.
Well, I think if it relies on the human and their persuasive abilities, that's just human manipulation.
That's about how long it's going to last, too.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you a neat story that I heard about yesterday, and this is very generic, so I don't think it would hurt anybody that if this is the story, if they're listening to this, perhaps. But I mentioned just how difficult it was if you had somebody in your home that was elderly and ill,
mm-hmm.
and you were a primary caregiver for somebody who couldn't take care of themselves. And I just talked about how hard that was and how we need grace for that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it, but there was a family in the church yesterday, not usually there. It was unique that they were there yesterday.
All right.
But I found out after the fact that they were going through a terrible time because of something that just happened to an elderly person in their life, and they were facing that whole dilemma of their lives being changed by that person's weakness or the ailment that they're going through. And this morning a guy told me about that. He said, it blew my mind that you said that yesterday.
Yeah.
And I said, that's not about me. That's the Holy Spirit doing that, because I did not have any idea that that was going on.
Yeah. And, you know, and like, obviously we've talked about it here on the podcast and one-on-one in the past, that I've dealt with a similar thing fairly recently. It hasn't even been a year yet, which blows my mind that not even a year has passed yet. It seems like forever and yesterday at the same time. But, you know, those times we can look at negatively, and we can fall into that despair. And I think that's easy to do. But we can also look at we can give it a positive as well, that whole experience of losing someone or having that impact on your house. And I do feel like in a lot of ways the last bit of my father-in-law's life helped bring us together as a family, all of us that lived in the house together. And it was a major impact, and I wouldn't want to take it back.
Right.
I mean, that was an experience that, not that I'm glad he's gone, don't get me wrong, that's far from the case, but there's good that is derived from that time period and that experience that I think is important.
And the point that we're making here is that God gave you grace to walk through that, because at the time the pain was at times excruciating.
Oh yeah.
I'm not talking about just for him. I'm talking about for you, the emotional pain and the emotional pain of what your wife went through, right, and what his wife went through, your mother-in-law and your kids.
Yeah.
And you sometimes don't even realize it in the moment. But no. God is giving you things that you need and carrying you through those. So it's a powerful, powerful thing, because God's grace is for the broken. His body was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Your hearts were broken.
Our home was.
Yeah, your whole home life was upside down.
In a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and still is, and probably always will be in some little way. And I think that's okay. You know, like there's a piece missing, and there always will be. And I wouldn't want to smooth that chip away.
Right. Well, it's part of the growth of your life. And and honestly, as we deal with death, as mm-hmm. we deal with change in our lives, and then God gives us the strength to get through it, and we get stronger on the other side of it, then we begin to say, oh, wow, God's grace is wonderful. And do you remember how the Lord helped us and care and gave us strength through that? You can talk to your kids about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that just shows you that God cares about our pain. He cares mm-hmm. about the tough times in our life. And so this whole message about grace for the broken, I mean, we could talk for hours, illustration after illustration.
Oh, yeah, because we've all got them.
God's grace, what did John write in John 1:16? And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. So he gives us grace that we will receive grace. He gives us grace for life if we'll receive it. Now, there's people that give God the stiff arm.
Yep.
And they reject his grace. And that results in a bitter, hard heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tragic thing.
Well, and I think it, as we've said, and kind of come into our point we made at the beginning, that is our path to healing or not, I guess, as that case may be too. If you shun that away, you're not going to heal mm-hmm. from whatever it is that's affecting you.
And you know, as a pastor, I don't think I've seen everything, but I've seen a lot of things. And I have seen the saint leave this earth with joy in their eyes
mm-hmm.
and peace. And I've seen folks that were bitter and hard and rejecting God leave here with cursing on their lips. And a little bit of everything in between. It hurts my heart. And Kyle, I guess the bottom line of this sermon, was after Jesus gave grace to all these people that was in this story, then he made this statement. He said, the fields are white unto harvest. The laborers are few. He said, God is calling laborers. So God doesn't just give grace for your situation. If Kyle will answer the call, if John will answer the call, if the person that's listening out there will answer God's call to the purpose in their life, you know what he's going to do? He'll give you grace that you need to go love people. A few weeks ago, when we were talking about other miracles, we told the story about this man that was homeless, bitter, hard. And he went to this church because he found out he could get a hot shower. He hadn't had a shower in 3 months. And he stunk so bad, he said that the other homeless people were telling him he stunk. And what happened?
Yeah.
A woman, a nicely dressed woman, walked across the room of this church where they were feeding them and giving them a shower. She walked across the room and she said, sir, you look like you need a hug. Can I give you a hug? And he looked at her and he said, ma'am, I stink. She said, I don't smell a thing. I see a man that needs a hug. And she gave him a hug. And he talks about that hug broke the hardness of his heart. That hug was the grace of God in his life that opened up his heart to start listening. And it was a very short time after that that he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And today, he goes back to that very same place where he was homeless, living in a field. And he preaches about the love of Jesus and the grace of God to others. So God gave that woman grace.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. To ignore the smell.
Yep.
And then he gave that man grace to be saved, and now he's given that same man grace to go tell other homeless people about his grace. It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, God is calling us that know him to be grace givers.
That very same thought that you just wrapped up with there on everyone being involved in the receiving of grace there, I thought, how many times have I not gone to give that hug because the smell was overpowering? Whatever it is, whatever the issue of someone, I mean, you know, in the last 10 years or so, just disagreeing with people has torn apart relationships and families. So there's that bad smell, or the way somebody looks, or their own sinful behaviors.
Instead of looking back, looking past that angry look, that curse word, that whatever, you know, the cursing that you got, you look past that and you see the person that's hurting.
You receive that grace and you can then pass it on.
That's right. And it might be what turns their life around.
It might be what turns this whole world around.
Yeah.
If only. If only we're willing.
So now we can conclude with this verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Yeah.
Ephesians 2:8-9.
I think that needs to be on my wall in my office or something.
There you go.
Remember that. What do we have to look forward to for next Sunday?
Well, next Sunday we're going to have Pastor Brian's going to be preaching.
Okay.
I'm actually going to be in New Mexico at my granddaughter's graduation.
Oh, fantastic!
She's graduating from high school. So.
All right. Well, Brian always does a fantastic job. And is usually very humorous.
Yeah.
So I will look forward to seeing what he's got in store for us.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And
thank you, Kyle.
Have a great week.
You too, bro.